Romans chapter number 10. If you do not have a Bible and you'd like to look at a few verses with us, there should be a Bible right in front of you in between the two hymn books. There's a black book there that is a holy Bible. Romans chapter number 10 this morning. Thankful for the choir and the actors and all those that helped go in and make all this happen. We're going to hear one more song from the choir in just a few minutes. But before we get to that, we'd like to look into the Word of God and explain to you why we think it's such a big deal about Jesus Christ arising from the dead. If you go back to the beginning of the service and you remember in the narration part, it talked about how we can have our sins forgiven and that we do not have to pay for our penalty of sins if we'll put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Many people do not understand why Jesus Christ came, as John the Beloved was trying to help us understand that there were people that was rejoicing and they were excited about this Jesus. They were excited because they thought he could do something for them. That's not what salvation is. Salvation is when we see ourselves as a sinner and we see that Christ, who suffered our punishment for us, and we put our faith and trust in him, we realize that he is God and that he died on the cross to take our place for us. John the Baptist, which was different than John the Beloved, John the Baptist in the Bible said in John 1:29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The day before, they were giving John the Baptist a hard time. They were asking him if he was the Messiah, or if he was Isaiah, or whoever he was. You know, who are you? And he says, "I'm not him." And then they said, "There's the Lamb of God." Now, to me or you that didn't grow up in a Jewish culture, that might not mean as much if we were not learned in the Scriptures. But back in the Jewish culture, a lamb would be slain to be a sin offering for the people's sin. If you go back, and if you know your Bible, that back in the garden, Adam and Eve had sinned, and because they had sinned, they had sin was passed upon them, and then at that point in time when they had sinned, death entered into the world. And because death had entered into the world, all men become sinners. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And you say, "Pastor, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good lady. I don't have to worry about all this stuff. Jesus Christ would not have to die for me." And that's where people are very many times mistaken. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Because of that sin that happened in the garden, sin has been passed down through every generation, and we're all born sinners. And because we're born sinners, there's a debt that we have to pay. Our sin eternally separates us from God. Our sin will cast us into a horrible place called hell someday unless it is dealt with. And that's why the Lamb of God came. He came to take our place for us. Just as throughout the Old Testament, there was many lambs that was slain over and over and over. But the lambs of the blood of goats, the blood of lambs, they could not wash away sin. But it was the perfect Holy Lamb of God that came and shed his blood for us. So, just a couple thoughts. Number one, in the song, "That's Why He Came." That was the whole purpose. Sometimes people get, I like Christmas, I like Easter, Resurrection Sunday, whatever you want to call it. Sometimes people get so involved about it, they forget exactly what the whole reason why we celebrate it. We celebrate Christmas. At least Christians and believers celebrate Christmas because that's the day that Jesus Christ was born in this world. But he didn't come just to heal the Mary Magdalene's of the world or to raise Lazarus from the dead. He came to die for the sins of mankind. He came to take our spot for us. We had a debt that we could not pay, but he paid it for us. That's why he had to hang on that cross. Your sin and my sin put him on that cross, and he became our substitutionary. He became our substitute for us. He took our sin for us. I said, "Well, that's great. That means I get to go to heaven when I die." Well, the Bible teaches us that we must put our faith and trust in what he did for us. We must see him dying for us and believe that he died for us. and that he was buried and that he rose again. And when he rose again, that gave us the faith to believe he had the power to also raise us someday too. Let's look what it says in Romans chapter number 10. The Bible says, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see, what the Bible is saying here, if we will confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ died for us and that he was raised from the dead, we can be saved. But only if we put our faith and trust in him. A couple things we learned from some of the music today. We saw the thief there, and the thief had lived such a wicked life that the Roman government said, you deserve to die. You deserve no longer to be part of this community. You deserve no longer to have breath. We're going to put you to death. So you see a very, very wicked man turn to Christ in his dying moments and said, remember me. And what did Christ do? He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So some people have this idea that, hey, I've done so much wrong, I've done so many things bad, that God could not love me, God could not save me, God would not remember me. But in that song, what do we learn from the thief? Is that Christ loves everyone. And no one has gone so far and done so much wrong that they cannot be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I think it's important to realize that just like the thief, we have to turn to him. We had to put our faith and trust in him. Another song we heard earlier is Turn to Jesus While You May. And I know that it probably isn't exactly like in those words, but throughout the week I've been singing the song, and I go, Turn to Jesus While You May. And my boys, they say, oh no, that's not the exact words. I said, I don't care. Those are the words I like. Because it is while you may. Don't delay. Why is it important that we don't delay? Why is it important that while we may? It's because in this world, we have a very short life. I know some of us get to live 100 years or 110 years, 120 years. Most of us probably somewhere between 70 and 80. Unfortunately, we all know people that have lost their life too early and too soon. The Bible says that we are not promised tomorrow. There's no guarantee tomorrow. Make sure you turn to Christ today while you may. Means you need to do it before it's too late. Because there's coming a day that it will be too late. As soon as you pass off from this world and die, it's too late. Probably a month or two ago, we looked at that famous passage of scripture in Luke 16, when it talked about how the rich man and Lazarus, and that's the other Lazarus of the Bible, the rich man opened up his eyes and lifted up his eyes after he died, and he was in hell and he was in torments. He was even asking and saying for some relief. Can't do it. Death had come. His fate was sealed. This morning, I'd just like to simply put and say to you, do you know Jesus Christ personally? Do you know him as your personal Savior? Has there been a time and a moment in your life when you looked to him and said, I believe in what you've done for me. I saw that my sin put you on that cross and that you died for my sin. And I put my faith and trust completely and totally in you. There are a lot of different things we could talk about the Lamb of God. There's the work of the Lamb of God, how it was an absolute necessity, but it was not a surprise. In Revelation, it says the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. It was the only cure for sin. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Many of us have heard that verse, and we hear what it says. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And to us, does that matter? It's when we make it personal. When we think about how Jesus Christ came, and it wasn't just for all, it was for me. Also, the verse before that says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. But if we make that personal, we say he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. We need to make it personal, the fact that he died because of our sin. He died for us, and it cost him a great amount. But all we must do is put our faith and trust in what he did for us. Jesus Christ was the only cure for sin because, as we've heard throughout the program, he was the only perfect Lamb of God. He also was the only one, it was the only means of reconciliation, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Our relationship with God was broken, and he reconciled it. The only way we can get to God is through Jesus Christ, because even Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Revelation 5:9 says, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood." It was the only method of redemption. It was the only cure for sins. It was the only means of reconciliation. It was the only method of redemption. The fact that Jesus had to die. If it could have been any other way, Jesus would have never died for our sins. But the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the reason why he came. He had to die for us. And we don't celebrate his death as much as we celebrate his resurrection, because his resurrection shows us he has the power over death, grave, and hell. And we know that he has the power to redeem us also. So this morning, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Now, I'm not talking based off of your good works, because your good works won't get you anywhere. Obviously, the thief on the cross would not have had enough good works to get himself to heaven, would he? The Roman government says he was so wicked that he had to die, but he still got to be with Jesus that day in paradise. Good works, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's not of works, lest any man should boast." Sometimes people think that baptism or good works is going to earn you a spot in heaven. The thief on the cross didn't either one. It just came through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning, if you were to go to heaven and you stand before God and God says to you, "Why should we let you in heaven?" And if you say anything besides the fact that I put my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, you're not going to make it. I know there's a lot of sincere people out there. There's a lot of people that believe a lot of different things. We could go across this room and some people say, "Well, I think this is important. I think this is..." You know, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Have you put your faith and trust in him today? We celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday, whatever you want to call it. We celebrate it because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And as he rose from the dead, we can have life also. And I want to make sure that you understand that before you leave this place today, you can be saved and on your way to heaven and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved on your way to heaven from what the Bible teaches you, from what the Bible says. We've heard a lot of good things. We've seen God change a lot of people's lives, from the thief on the cross to the Mary Magdalene to the story of Lazarus. But we have to make it personal for you, because we cannot base our faith off anybody else's decision. It's whether or not you have truly put your faith and trust in him. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you are willing to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you can be saved and on your way to heaven today. Let's have everybody bow their head and close their eyes. I'd like